point of view
on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.
Let me quickly get a sense from you. Before we go to the city, let me get a sense from you. How has load shedding, truly, how has it impacted on your work, on your own life, on everything that you're doing? Just let me know. And are you one of those people whose area has been affected badly? Let me know. 086-00-00959. On the line with us this evening, Michael Sun, Environmental and Infrastructure Services, MMC, in Johannesburg. Mr. Sun, thanks for your time. Good evening.
Good evening, Pumelo. And thank you very much for the opportunity to come on your show.
I mean, we really, I think all of us are very frustrated. The city has been releasing statements about the kind of damage to infrastructure you've been seeing. Are you able to quantify it at the moment, you know, just how bad it's been in the, over the past maybe 7 days?
Well, it is really bad, and it's also at the same time very difficult for us to quantify an amount. However, I have read that the industry experts have calculated the load shedding to be costing the city 1 billion rand for every stage of load shedding per day. So it is an astronomical amount of loss. The city of Johannesburg, being the economic hub of the continent, obviously suffers more. There's so much economic activities, you know, job opportunities that are lost, in particular productive hours that we'll never be able to gain back because of load shedding. So the impact is really huge, not just in terms of us wanting to keep the lights on in houses, but we also want to ensure that the lives and livelihoods continue.
Infrastructure has really suffered a big blow here. We know that we have aging infrastructure. Give us a sense of how bad it's been in Johannesburg.
Let me take you through to a scenario. When the city of Johannesburg electricity network or the grid was designed, it was not designed in such a way that it would withstand load shedding and the continuous switching on and off. If I had to explain to you how this is done, is that about 70% of our substations have to be physically switched on and off by a technician. So a technician has to drive out there, switch it on when you know load shedding ends, and again switch it off. And when the load shedding stages increase, that interval is shortened, and of course, you know, we have to switch it on and off more than before. It creates a tremendous amount of strain on the infrastructure network. This is where you see a lot of the faults occur after load shedding. And just for example, day before yesterday, I visited our industrial substation that had an explosion because of the switching on and off due to load shedding.
I mean, I'm told that part of the other problems you've got to deal with is cable theft, for instance. So, you know, people go out there knowing for sure that they will not be electrocuted because we are load shed.
That is a very another unfortunate issue we have to face. The criminal elements, when they look at the load shedding, they see something else. They see a timetable where they can operate with little or no risk of electrocution. And again, it was day before yesterday, I visited the Rudaport substation. That substation was not damaged because of load shedding, but it was breached by cable thieves during load shedding. So they went into the, broke into the substation. They started to chop up cables and damage our infrastructure because they know that there's no power in the facility. They can do the illegal business of cutting up cables. And of course, not to mention these other areas in our mini substations, our fuse boxes. I was even taken to a place where they stole an entire mini sub during load shedding. So that's the extent and brazenness the cable thieves are nowadays, that we are dealing with this national crisis. And of course, the criminal element is not making things any easier for us.
So where is this money going to come from, you know, some of the repairs that you're doing to damage substations and so on? Where is the city going to get this money from?
We of course have our normal budget, you know, for repairs and maintenance, but because of those other unbudgeted expenses. We need to find funding. But what's also not coming through, if you look at a damaged substation, what we have to do now is that we have to spend millions of rand per month, every month, on security measures.
Mm-hmm.
Especially during load shedding, we have to deploy additional security personnel to patrol hotspots. Of course, these things get damaged. We have to go spend additional cost. Yes, some of the equipment are insured. So if there's a damage that's not because of our own fault, insurance would normally cover it. But it's a necessary expense, especially with cable theft. It's really, really very expensive cables we have to replace. But that's all money that we have to spend to ensure that we maintain the grid. And ensuring that we're able to provide electricity to our residents, whilst we're not affected by load shedding. Mm.
The industrial substation that was damaged caused some darkness for quite an extended time for residents of Rivoli and so on. Can you give us an update on that?
No, it was fully restored. Again, it was night before last night. In fact, at midnight, the majority part of the supplied area were restored. There were only two, I believe three pockets that were not restored, but yesterday they were restored as well. So I'm quite happy with the speed of the restoration. It was a very badly damaged switch box that we had to replace. And the team worked around the clock. So I really am very grateful for our men and women out there ensuring that they do their work so our residents can have power as soon as we able to get them back on.
Some statements were released about how this may affect water supply in some areas as well. Just give us an update on that.
So how things work is that the pump stations obviously need electricity to work. When there's load shedding, the pump stations don't work, and we sometimes find it difficult to isolate them from load shedding or protect them from load shedding. And if water is not being pumped into reservoirs or water towers, eventually they get depleted. And when power comes back on, you may have a situation where there's no water. So it is also a concerning issue for us. What we want to do is that within our own Johannesburg water reservoirs and towers, that we will be, I shouldn't share so much information with you, not because I don't want you to know, but I don't want the criminals to hear about this. But we'll be installing, other devices and other source of electricity to ensure that even if there's load shedding, we are still able to have a stable supply of electricity to ensure the pumps work.
Okay. So at the moment, I know that residents, there was, just a flagging of residents around Brixton because of that Brixton tower, because water levels were quite low there. You're saying that at the moment there is no more risk. We can sort of be, rest and understand that the city's got some of this under control.
What we want our residents to rest assured is that we have a plan, and this plan is being actioned, not just in terms of us maintaining, ensuring we repair the faults. We look for other initiatives to ensure that, for example, the water situation, the pump stations. But what we're also doing is that we will be releasing a strategic framework very soon. And this is after the energy endowment we held a few months back. We were able to draw from the best mind in the industry. So we've come up with a few initiatives. I had a very positive meeting with our city power colleagues last week. On the one front, we are finding ways to conserve energy. We will be retrofitting our street light with LED technology that will save between 3 to 5 times more than the conventional street lights. City Power is taking the lead and leading by example to say that we will be installing solar panels at City Power's headquarters in Ruwen to ensure that we use less electricity ourselves.
Okay.
And other initiatives such as we want him to roll out the installation of ripple relays so we can remotely switch off those big energy soakers, your heaters, your air conditioning unit, that gets left on the whole night in office buildings.
Yes.
And then we'll be procuring additional capacity for independent power producers. That's going to happen very soon, end of September, beginning of October. We'll be releasing our first request for proposals, and hopefully by the end of this year, December 2022, we'll start to onboard IPPs. Then we'll get the additional capacity so we can bridge the gap between the demand in the city of Johannesburg and the load shedding stages.
And what kind of capacity are we talking about? How many megawatts is the city going to procure from independent producers?
We have identified a gap of 500 megawatts. Now, what we want to do in the short term is that if ESCOM should announce a stage four load shedding, with the additional capacity we're able to generate and the energy we're able to save, we will then be able to move our residents and customers down to stage two and even possibly a stage zero. So that then would avert the load shedding for the residents in the city. But of course, as ESCOM increase its load shedding schedule, the demand will be bigger and the gap will be bigger. But eventually, once we are able to procure a 500 megawatts from IPPs, we will then will be able to say we are very comfortable to say to our residents and customers that ESCOM can go and announce the load shedding. We will probably, you know, feel it as a minimal impact.
When are we likely to see this happen? So I know that you're going to go out to the market soon, but when do you think you will have completed the process?
The initial phase that we are rolling out will be before the end of the year.
Okay.
So in other words, that we are hoping our customers will start to feel the difference by December 2022. And of course, this is an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. We'll very soon after phase one roll out phase two. And we are even looking to onboard domestic producers. So if you have a spare, well, not a spare, but if you have solar panels on your roof and you're able to produce spare capacity, we'll find ways to buy that that additional capacity in the form of a power purchasing agreement. So we're able to feed that also into the grid. So we have a good balance and mix of the energy supply. So again, you know, I mentioned earlier to bridge that gap between load shedding and the demand of the city.
Let me just go to a call. Ramuloi is calling from Vereeniging. Ramuloi, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Go ahead with your question.
So with us, our load shedding schedule is completely unreliable. Like a couple of years ago, our municipality was rated as the worst performing, and it shows. We could go weeks without load shedding, and then we could go, you know, a whole week having load shedding, like, regularly. Add to that the fact that, you know, we work from home, and the network becomes, the mobile network becomes very shaky, and it becomes a complete mess. It becomes a, whatever backup internet solution you have fails, whatever, like, it becomes a complete mess. It's really annoying. It feels primitive, actually.
Mm. Oh, okay. Ramuloi there in Vereeniging. Michael, you know, you've obviously heard that comment. I don't know if you're going to be able to respond to that, Mr. San.
Yes, I do feel the pain. Yeah. I must say, you know, whether you're in Vereeniging or in Johannesburg or in Tikwene or Cape Town, we all have to go through load shedding as soon as ESCOM announces that. But I hope that with whatever experiences we are able to learn and the resources that we have, we'll share those with our neighboring municipalities. We want to ensure that we don't keep this to ourselves. We want to ensure that Gauteng is a region we grow economically, and the residents within Gauteng, they can also benefit as the municipalities work with each other. In fact, this is why I went to Cape Town a few months back to learn from what they've done, and I've certainly come back with lots of valuable information. And on that score, you know, Cape Town Mayor Jordan Hill Lewis has done tremendous amount of work. You know, the Western Cape Premier Ellen Windy, they've done tremendous amount of work to ensure that the residents in the Western Cape province don't have to go through this kind of load shedding impact. And we certainly need to catch up in the city of Johannesburg.
To what extent are you having discussions about subsidizing those who would, you know, immediately homes who may go out and get generators, even businesses for that matter? I mean, a lot of businesses are saying, yes, they may need to go out and get generators, but they just cannot afford the capital outlay.
Well, there's no plan for the city to subsidize any customers that wanting to install solar or even a generator or an inverter, for the time being, they will have to do so at their own cost. You can imagine these equipment are expensive. City hasn't got the additional budget to subsidize any customers mm-hmm. for these kind of equipment. But what we want to do eventually is that we certainly want to look for products that would then be supplied either through circuit power or you know some process that we adopt, then it would then be more competitive as to the ones that are on the market. And we especially want to aim it at our less fortunate settlement residents to say that if we are not able to provide you with electricity, you know, immediately, at least there's a device that we can provide you that would bring lighting to your house, and you know the basic needs would at least be fulfilled.
And would there be also a plan around areas where they just aren't, it just isn't enough light? So apart from the residents themselves, I mean, we have areas where people complain about just no light at all. And, you know, going to work and so on very early in the day and very late in the evening, it's always problematic. Is there a plan to try and do something about that, especially the places that don't already have infrastructure?
So lighting up off the streets is very important. You know, it's just not about, you know, keeping the community and the streets bright, but also it would deter criminals at work. So what we are rolling out, Bruno, I'm sure you've got a listening device in our offices because you know all of our plans. we are looking to install high-mast solar lighting. So what this will do is that even if there's no power supply or even if there's load shedding, the high mast solar lighting will still brighten up the street for the communities. And of course, together with those devices that we are looking at, we are studying them to see whether they're viable. Mm. We want to ensure that at least the basic needs of lighting will be satisfied in our residents in the informal townships would not lose out. So these are some of our plans, and I'm certainly very happy that you asked that question because it is something that we've included into our strategic framework.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for that, and thanks for that update. Michael Sun is from the city of Johannesburg. He is the MMC of infrastructure there and just giving us a sense of, you know, where we are. They seem to have it together. But if you are in an area where you've experienced extended period of load shedding, and perhaps it's not just load shedding, maybe it's your infrastructure has given in, let us know so that we can also flag it and then send it over to the city so that they can try and respond as quickly as possible.
Point of View
on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.